Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Shauna Halligan, and I'm in a band called Bittersweet.
You are?
Yes.
Okay.
Among other things.
So I'm going to turn off the microphones for a second.
Hey, I'm Shauna Halligan, from Bittersweet, of course.
I'm Kiran Shahani, same band.
So quick history. You lived a block from each other. You recorded in the same studio. You never would have met if it wasn't a fateful online ad. So I need to know what kind of online ad. And then please, because you know, it could have been in the Weekly and Lord only knows what division it was in. So please continue the story, which is written so slickly on your site, because it's a little more fun to actually hear it being told than reading it.
It was actually on Craigslist.
Young Studley Mixer seeks
intelligent rapper.
So that was 2007.
Wow. A lot's happened since then.
Yeah, just a little bit. So we could just do the whole thing as, so what's new? But I think that would be a little bit crazy. I usually do revisionist history, but that's a lot of work here. You know, that's we're talking a lot of years. So I want to kind of go here right away. But the press release says you are, and I'm going to do it in the announcer voice, an electronic music pioneer.
Ah.
Do you feel like an electronic music pioneer?
No. I feel there's been far superior before me who may have paved that path.
But where I'm going is, this is a long time, and you've been through a lot of changes, and people should be able to figure out, it's not like you stepped back and you did nothing for all that time,
right?
Since 2007. So, you know, people can listen to thievery. They can do lots of things. But what I'm most interested in is, what are the things that aren't out there? I mean, because you mentioned child, you mentioned family, you mentioned house. So when you took, and I don't even know, do you even call it a break? Was there a formal break from Bittersweet Volume 1?
Well, all good things must come to an end.
Yes, I get it.
Relationship and that form of making music had expired in the way that it was. And then I went on to do a lot of other things after that. It wasn't a break. I moved to London, went to Paris, worked with a whole bunch of other bands and producers, and kind of tried to break out of what I was doing.
So you
before.
Didn't? You didn't? Because again, the way it could be construed is, she just left the music industry.
Oh no, I did for a short bit, but not for that long. A very short bit. I've just been making music the whole time, just in different ways.
So
different forms.
I'm not going to be TMZ here,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's important. However, what was the moment that you knew it was time to end it? And was there one thing in particular? You were at the moment when Sinks were heating up. You did mm-hmm. okay on that.
Yeah, it wasn't a healthy environment for me within the band. It just wasn't. I think I was attracting a lot of people in my life at that time, my bandmate included, you know, that reaffirmed beliefs that I may have inherited in childhood about myself, that just I realized were just not healthy for me anymore, and it was becoming a bit toxic. And I think there were some really magical moments. I think that we made some incredible music. I think we got a lot of incredible, you know, fortune and opportunity during that time. That was really special. But at the end of the day, making music is really about feeling everything that you're meant to feel, and being able to put that out there in a way that's incredibly authentic. And I was feeling like I wasn't able to be authentic in the end because I wasn't happy. And I still had to put out music that wasn't representing, I guess, how I was really feeling there at the end. And it just became unfun.
But most people don't have the ability, the nerve, or the self-preservation to do
that. Not to mention, you know, we were still on the up and up. There was a lot more that we could have done, you know.
Yeah, it's
at
not
that
like
time.
Right. It's not like you suddenly dried up for things to
no,
do.
No, there. I felt like we were still about to explode, but we weren't going to be able to in the format that it was anyway. And I think that it's really, really important to honor yourself, and it's really, really difficult because when things are going really great in this profession, which is highly unusual for things to go really great in this profession.
Indeed.
It's very difficult to walk away from that. But I think that I'm really proud that I've been able to integrate myself into so many other experiences and projects that have enabled me to realize that, hey, I was a big part of that talent. I wrote the songs. I can keep doing this. I can keep doing this no matter who I'm working with, no matter what stage I'm on, no matter what's going on. I am exactly a big portion of that. And I will bring that wherever I go. So it wasn't easy though, you know?
What was the moment that you kind of woke up in the morning and said, okay, I've been working on all these projects. It's time to take Bittersweet back, pun intended, and make it mine and do what I want to do with it.
It's funny because I really walked away from that thinking I would never go back. It never crossed my mind. It never crossed my mind to go back to Bittersweet. I'm such a believer in evolving and never looking back and learning from and moving forward. But I had this cool opportunity. You know, the old label wasn't really functioning as a label anymore. And I was just offered the rights to the name. Hey, you want to take this and run with it? And it was so interesting because I just...
Well, you really... Now that... I've never, yeah. I've, see, this is this to me... Is the crux
he
of
was just
we're
kind of winding
do
down, doing other things, you know, and we would stay in touch, and we had a really nice relationship.
And
so
he
we were
really
always,
and he really turned to you and said,
"In touch." He'd heard some of the music I'd been making. He, you know,
wow.
He just was kind of like, "Yeah, you want to run with this? Pass the like here you go." And he
wow.
he actually it was all his idea, and he
well, so you
made
see,
it possible for me
so
to
you
own
see,
the rights.
Away, so that the big learning yeah. there is walking away.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
Yeah,
you don't know that that's going to work.
Yeah,
but in this case, it obviously. Provided the right answer.
And when he said that, and I had this opportunity to suddenly own the name myself and everything like that, it was like immediate, kind of like, I know exactly how to do this. Let's do this. We don't need to try all these other things. Let's just go back home to what exactly I do best. And I'm doing it in a way that's just really empowering. And I'm getting to pick and choose like who I want to work with on it. And it's so fun. There's no drama. It's just a good time.
So is this a band, a project, a burrito? What is this?
I mean, it's still Bittersweet. It's still inviting you right back into the flavor and nostalgia and sound that it always was. But I've also integrated a lot of other influences and modern production.
You've got turntablists,
you know?
You've got
yeah.
horns, you got keys, you got a lot.
We got the ingredients. And I still work with like the original DJ.
Yes,
and, you
I know.
So it's Bittersweet, but it's me.
What were the things you said to yourself that were going to bring it to today, if anything?
I think my like the very first song out of the gate, I was very much trying to capture what I believed to be what everybody would want to hear. But then,
boy, that's tough.
Yeah, but then it just evolved incredibly naturally. I love like so much music and so much new music too that I just was super excited to infuse this with, you know, some producers that are really have their ear in what is going on now.
I love when this works. Look, there's a word, producer. When you're looking at producers, mm-hmm. what did you say to yourself that would make you go, yes, that I think that my voice, my songs, you know, my songcraft, you know, and this is going to make it the new Bittersweet.
It didn't work like that. It's chemistry. It's like I was put in a room, you know, with my publisher for just writing for sync projects or what have you, you know. And there was one guy in particular, Joey, who we just had a really good vibe, like a great connection. We were not making music anything like Bittersweet at all. It was all strictly for something else. But for me, it's just chemistry. It's like, who can I hang out with? Who can I be in the studio with? Who can I feel safe enough to explore any idea and not feel like weird about that, which I still do no matter what. But, you know, that was part of it. And I often feel like, you know, nobody should be pigeonholed into this one idea of what kind of music you're making. And I just had a feeling like, hey, well, can you throw this kind of a, can you make this? Like, let's try this. And I played him some samples, some old samples, and I played him some stuff, you know, and I just kind of wanted to see what he could do because I was already comfortable with him. That's the key for me, is being comfortable. It's like this 51st dates thing, this whole thing about like,
oh,
hi,
brutal.
Nice to meet you. We're going to make a track, mix it. We're going to write it, record it, and mix it. And I'm never going to see you again after tomorrow. And that's
the whole co-writing thing.
Sure, sure. It's wild. And I've done, you know, I went to Nashville and did a ton of that. And, yeah, you know, so you I know what it's it. Like. But there can be the case where people are just, their muscle is so well used and abused that the skill set does enable you to come up with something really cool, even if it's only a few hours, you know?
Done right.
But I can do that, and I'm honored and grateful for those experiences that get me like writing so quickly. It's fine, it's great, I can do it, but like there's nothing like a connection and some chemistry and really
what
like enjoying the person you're working with and then going, hey, and then, you know, but still, it's still all these younger These kids today, they're still very much of the mindset of in and out, in
crank
and out.
Out.
You
yes.
know, I was very like when Billie Eilish came out, I was like, okay, she's got her brother. Yes, they live together. They get to make music all the time. Like, that's basically how I used to do it. I was living, breathing 17-hour days, go to sleep, wake up, get back in the studio. You can't wait. Wait, can we fix that sound? Wait, how about that? No, there's a... That's like so rare these days. So yeah. When you have that, of course it's fucking awesome if you're talented and awesome.
Yeah, what a concept.
Yeah.
What is the filter for a Bittersweet song? How do you know that it's going to be a song for Bittersweet?
Well, I think the beauty of Bittersweet has always been that there have been so many different flavors and colors and styles on one album. There is that weird obscure dance track. There is this 50s like Andrew Sisters track. Then there's the dreamy romantic old Hollywood track. There's like rock guitar track, you know, so like there's been no limitations on kind of the style. There's just sort of an overall tone that sort of washes over the whole project that makes you feel that it belongs together. And I feel like this is no different. It's whatever mood I'm in, I'm rolling with. And it's kind of about how we mix it. Because the song, to me, it's like, is it a good song? And then we can bittersweet it up all day long after that.
You can play with it.
Yeah.
So way back in 2007, when we talked about your dad, tell me the story since then and how it led to Rise.
Oh, okay. Well, for those that don't know, my dad was an epic legend. He founded Blood, Sweat, and Tears. He wrote and arranged so much of that music. He played every instrument. He was just a genius. And he'd worked on Bittersweet albums, a lot of string arrangements and cool stuff too. And we were really tight for most of my life until the end. And he had a pretty cuckoo lady in the mix. He was living in Italy at the time. And his health was not doing great, But I really didn't know what was going on because there was a lot being shielded from me. And I think he also was losing his identity because his only way to communicate was really through music. And he wasn't doing that as easily anymore either. So I think he was kind of withdrawing, and this person in the mix was kind of had her own reasons for creating wedges and all of this yucky family drama. Oof. And it was really painful, and I didn't understand why, because he was my best friend, you know. So I was really heartbroken even before he passed. And then he passed, and I was on my way to go see him in Italy after I learned how dire it was, which I was very difficult to even get to know that. So I was en route, and I was late. And I'd actually started to write him this song before that happened, and I did send it to him before he passed.
So at least he saw it.
Yeah, he did. He heard it.
That's good.
He did. And Sarah and him actually had a really lovely connection too. So it was really cool that he then stepped in to do the strings.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that song was for him. It's still, every time I sing it, I get choked up. It's really hard to get it out. It's funny. It's a song I never wanted to sing live, and now it's, you know, one of the singles, and I'm having to sing it live, and it's getting actually more cathartic and more
cathartic.
It
gets better.
You know? Yeah. Now he's sprinkled in the music video too.
Yeah. So that's amazing. Yeah. So now there's a whole new level of reality, but you've kept on keeping on and making this record on what, but you've still brought in all sorts of modern sounds.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So do you care in any way, shape, or form if, like, people of a certain, you know, people who knew Bittersweet all that time ago, they're going to come back. They love you. They love the music. You know, this is going to be a celebration for them.
I hope so.
But the new crowd that's got
Who is that going to be?
Well, but that's my question. If no one has seen you, if no one knows your history, and they just listen to the music, it's going to be as attractive and hooky and sticky for them as it would have been 20 years ago.
I hope so.
And they're new people.
I really, really hope so. I mean, obviously, there's a plenty of people who have not heard of Bittersweet, and so far the reaction has been really great. So I'm psyched, you know. And we have some like amazing remixers, and you know, I definitely want the music to be accessible to everyone. There's plenty of songs on the album that are all of that romance and everything you'd expect to hear, but there's plenty of songs that are just bangers that I hope everybody likes, you know.
You have family because you have all of that. Are you going to still take this puppy out with the band and go do your thing?
That is the goal. Like in a control environment that I can make decisions whether or not I want, how long I want to be away from my son.
Make sure you have the right booking agent who actually gets it.
Exactly.
Because right? booking agents are brutal.
I'll bring him if I'm gone for a long time. It's under my terms. And I love that. I love that. Like all the way I've been touring previously, I've had so many other people having to tell me kind of how to do that. And I'm really, really fortunate that I can go out and do it the way that makes sense for me and where I am in my life right now. And I'm really excited about it. I love playing out. I love it. I love it. And I love when my son is there. I love it.
He gets to watch Mom.
He
loves
it. He's a trombone player. Oh, he can't wait to be on stage playing trombone.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you might not remember this because you did this 18 years ago.
I was so young and so different.
Well, this will be fun then. I invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside. And then you get to pick other songs in between.